turn to Galatians chapter 6. We're going to look first in, let's see here, verse 6. Or no, 7. Verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Well, we know we're born again. So I already have life everlasting. You understand what I mean? John 3:16. But I look at this and it says, he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Well, this isn't speaking me sowing to the Holy Ghost. How can I sow something to the Holy Ghost that the Holy Ghost doesn't already have? You understand what I mean? He's really talking about of your own spirit. If you sow to your own spirit, then you will reap out of your spirit the life that you received from God when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But it says right here in verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, that is what you're going to reap. We've heard this over the years, and at times it's almost like a catchphrase. Well, you reap what you sow. And we kind of don't really pay too much attention to it. But God began to show me, in fact, this whole thing about how we live our lives, our day-to-day lives, are a result of what we've sown. And let me just share this with you. As I was praying about this, he said, the fruit of your today and tomorrow comes from the seed of your yesterdays. The fruit of your today and your tomorrows comes from the seed of your yesterdays. So in other words, whatever you've sown in your yesterdays, this is what your today is, and it's what your tomorrows will become. Stated differently, today is the fruit of yesterday's seed. Today is the fruit of yesterday's seed. And again, stated differently, you mapped today's life with yesterday's sowing. You mapped today's life with yesterday's sowing. Now let's kind of maybe bring a little clarity to this. A lot of people talk about their life and how this isn't good in their life. You know, they have some bad relationships and talk about their husbands or their wives, talk about their job, their financial situation, their health, whatever it would be. They talk a lot about the negative, I guess is a way to put that. The bad stuff that's going on. Well, the truth is, you know, it's not about how your husband or wife react or act. It's not about how you're treated at the job. It's not about all of that stuff. It's how you respond to it that is the difference. How you respond is the seed that you have sown into your life. The events themselves are not the seed. The events are events. They're just things that have taken place. But what is interesting is that you can actually set yourself up for more negative events by virtue of your response to previous negative events. So what you can do is you can sow into your life a response to the negative, and all it's going to do is to continue to emphasize the negative. You say, yeah, but you don't understand. He, she, they, it, whatever, is not good at all. I mean, it's bad. Well, I'm not agreeing with, or I'm not disagreeing with you that the event itself is a bad event. And I'm not saying that you should enjoy a bad event. What I'm saying is your response to it is what governs what happens today. The event is in the past. Your response is in the past. Now you're living in the results or the fruit of what you've sown in the past. And I'm going to show this to you in Scripture even more clearly. Look over in Job chapter 4. Your today does not have to be your tomorrow. You need to let that sink in. Your today does not have to be your tomorrow, but your today is a result of your yesterdays. What you reap is what you sow. God has said so. This is a principle that you're not going to change. So you may think it doesn't matter what you do, how you live, how you respond, what you speak, how you say, and so on and so forth. You may not think any of that matters, but what you are actually doing is sowing seed into your life that you are going to reap tomorrow. And again, tomorrow may not be Monday. It may be 8 Mondays from now. But you're sowing into your life right now what's going to happen tomorrow. Tomorrow does not have to be today. Things can be different. In Job chapter 4, I want you to take a look, and really this is kind of a variation on the theme of Galatians, what we just read over there. In Job chapter 4, look at verse 8. Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. If you plow iniquity and you sow wickedness, you're going to reap the same. And you say, well, I don't do that, so this really doesn't apply to me. Yeah, but you don't maybe really understand what you're doing. Because if you are sowing anything into your life that does not line up with the Word of God, then you are plowing and sowing iniquity and wickedness. Because if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then what does it line up with? You see what I mean? So therefore, you're doing something, you're sowing something into your life that absolutely contradicts the standards of God's Word. Well, if you're sowing something that contradicts the standards of your Word, of God's Word, then from God's perspective, this is wickedness and it is iniquity. It may not seem like it to you, but it is. Okay. If you constantly sow sickness into your life, then why should you be upset that you're experiencing sickness in your life? You say, well, I don't sow sickness, I wash my hands. That is not what I'm talking about. Whenever you have a physical anything come up, what's your first reaction? You know, do you emphasize the sickness by virtue of what you say about it? You know, well, I've got it again. Well, you know, I have this problem. Now, God's not going to look. You can say that all you want, but from God's perspective, you're not going to get God to be in agreement with you over anything that's outside what He said in His Word. You're not. Now, if you stand before His throne and you begin to say, well, God, you know, I've got, you know, this sickness and I have this sickness and I've got it again or whatever it is. Oh, God, I think I'm going to have to, you know, go to the doctor because, you know, I sneezed, you know, 5 minutes ago. You know, who knows? It may be that disease that everybody's getting and, you know, they're having to do this and treat for that. And God's just going to sit there and let you ramble on. But He's not going to say, I know it. You do. Yeah, I know. It's all the same thing all over again. It's just, you're not going to get Him to stand in agreement with you. Because He is not going to stand in agreement with anything other than what He's established in His Word. Now, in Job chapter 4, He says, even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness, you know, they're going to reap the same. What that means is when you begin to speak these things, live these things, declare these things, confess these things, so on and so forth, outside the Word of God, you're going to reap it. You're going to reap it. So, you need to understand that if you spend today confessing about how lousy your son is, or your daughter is, how much they give you trouble at home. They don't listen to a thing I say. It's nothing but trouble, trouble, trouble. Why, this kid, I'm telling. If you keep speaking that, you know what you're doing, don't you? You're going to be reaping the same tomorrow. And then you're going to say, I don't know why they act this way. Did you ever think that maybe it's because you're helping? I'm trying to make things better. Well, okay, how are you making things better? By confessing how lousy everything is. That's how I'm making things better. You see, the circumstances are playing on your emotions, and now you're acting outside of your emotions, and you are sowing those things which cannot produce that which God desires. Now, you're not going to change their will, but you can sure make an influence in what is going on. The first place where the influence needs to be made is you. Because if you can't respond according to the structure of God's word, how can you be a godly influence on the people you're trying to help change? All you're doing is reinforcing their behavior. All you're doing is confessing confusion. All you're doing is confessing destruction. All you're doing is confessing or sowing these, and you're going to reap it. You're going to reap it. And you may think, well, they don't need my help acting this way. They're going to act that way anyway. Okay, do you understand what you just said? Now, granted, they may choose to use their will to act a certain way. But the one thing that we need to do is to confess, speak, sow something different to ourselves first. In other words, if I start confessing, speaking, sowing God's desires, the first thing that's going to change is how I respond to their ungodly actions. But if I don't do this, I'm going to reap in myself those things that I have sown. Look at another verse. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And I know some of you didn't even realize there was an Ecclesiastes in the Bible. Trust me, it's there. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And this is a really interesting verse. Verse 4. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. You say, well, what in the world, how does that fit into all of this? Here's what I want to point out. This person in verse 4, what are they doing? They are paying attention to the circumstances. Now, relative, literally, he's talking about, you know, the people that look at the weather. It impacts what they do as far as, you know, their farming and all that. But it's an illustration. If I take a look at the natural circumstances and I let the natural circumstances govern what I think about my life and what is happening, I will not sow the Word of God. I can observe the circumstances and realize these things aren't right, they need to change, and so on and so forth. I can recognize what needs to be changed. But a recognition of what needs to be changed does not mean that I have to be in agreement with it and then refuse to sow the Word of God. And I've seen this in so many people's lives, how that they take a look at what is happening around them and they take a look at what is what they don't like. The displeasure in life, whatever that would mean, their financial situation. And if you take a look at your financial situation and your financial situation stinks, I'm sick and tired of living paycheck to paycheck, hand to mouth, never get the bills caught up, and we're always behind. And you with me? No, I'm not with you on that, Brother Martin. Okay, you understand. If you keep speaking that way, you know what you're doing? You're doing this chapter 11, verse 4 we just read. You are allowing the clouds and the winds and everything that you see, in other words, your circumstances, to govern what you are sowing. So if you're looking at the circumstances and they're governing your thought pattern, then your response is going to be according to what you see, not according to what God has said. You say, well, yeah, but I mean, look at my bank book, Brother Martin. Look at the account, look at the balances and so forth. Okay, I can look at the circumstances and I can agree with you that, yeah, you know, this doesn't look good. But God's Word will always look good. That's not going to change. So then if I keep looking at the Word of God and I compare the Word of God to my checkbook, and I say, okay, yeah, there's a great discrepancy here. Which one am I going to come in agreement with? If I ignore the blowing of the wind, you understand what I mean? And I exalt the Word of God, then I will say things like, okay, yeah, I realize that, you know, it doesn't look like we've got enough money to pay our bills. But Father, you said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. He upbraids not. So I am asking you for wisdom. And Father, you said, and then you have verses over there in Proverbs, how that if we operate by the wisdom of God, we'll have increase. And that wisdom will show us how to use our money and so forth. And you begin to speak that. Oh, Father, I want to thank you for wisdom. And I want to thank you for giving me the wisdom on how to handle the money that we have. And I want to thank you for showing me what to buy and what not to buy. I want to show you, thank you for helping me to operate by the mind of Christ in wisdom concerning our money and so forth. That's not necessarily going to instantly change the balance in the checkbook. But what it will do is help you understand how to handle the money that is in the checkbook. And quite frankly, it's been my experience that a lot of people who complain about their finances are spending money on things that they don't need to spend money on. The thing is, they're blinded to it and they don't understand it. I know we all like TV. But, you know, if you're struggling financially, why are you paying extra for cable? Why? Well, because it's a package deal for the, and we gotta, that, I didn't ask you what kind of deal you had. I asked you, why are you spending the money that you don't need to spend? Well, Brother Martin, you can't just cancel the cable. What will the kids do? Oh. We have unearthed a major problem here, have we not? You understand the principle I'm sharing with you. If you let the circumstances govern your thought process and your responses and all that, then you're not going to sow the Word of God. Partly because you won't believe it'll make a change. I'm depressed all the time. I just don't know if I can take it another day. These things just keep... So what you're doing, you're just sowing more depression. So why should you be surprised when you wake up 4, 5, 6 days a week and all you want to do is stay in bed because life just stinks? Why should you feel like that you can't make it anymore unless, you know, you're taking drugs or for some people, you know, they, you know, put a drink or two down? I mean, what? I'm talking the body of Christ now. I mean, when you keep sowing this into your, when you keep saying, I have to do this, whatever that is, so I can make it through. Well, why do you need, what do you mean you have to, why is it you're having to take this so I can make it through? Okay, what resulted in you choosing to believe that you have to take this to make it through? Well, because I'm struggling with depression. Why are you struggling with depression? Well, I don't know, but I'm just struggling with depression. I don't know, it's just the things of life, the pressures of work. And yeah, but what about where the Word of God says the joy of the Lord is your strength? You keep talking depression. Trust me, God's never going to sit in heaven and agree with you on your depression. Because it's not your depression.
Well, if it ain't mine, why do I have it?
Because you keep sowing it into your life. Come on. One of the things the Lord said to me was, I've got so many of these children out here, kind of paraphrasing what He was showing me. I've got so many children out there, and they are literally sowing the works of Satan into their lives. Do you want that kind of fruit? Well, no, Brother Martin. Then why are you sowing that kind of seed? Why? Why would you keep letting Satan deceive you into sowing into your life that which is of him, and then when you reap it, you complain and fuss and don't know why God isn't helping you? I don't know why I'm like this. Well, God does. It's because you keep sowing it into your life. I'm telling you, I just wish there were answers, but there's no end to all. Yeah, there is an end. There is an end. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The peace that passes all understanding. I mean, on and on it goes, no matter what the situation is. Look at another verse, Hosea chapter 10. That's toward the end of the Old Testament. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. Hosea chapter 10. I want to show you two verses that go along with this. Verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Now look at the opposite. Verse 13. Ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. So what's he saying here? He's saying, look, Here's the way it's been. You've reaped the fruit of lies. What lies? That my life stinks. That nothing's going to change. That everything is lousy. He says, you're reaping it now. See, the life that you're living right now is a result of what you've been sowing all over the past weeks and months and years. If your life is lousy now, it's not because God has failed you. Because God's had the answer in the Word the whole time. The answer is that we have not sown righteousness, if you will. Yeah, we're Christians, but we've not sown righteousness. We've not sown mercy. We've not sown grace. We've not sown the things of God. We've not sown this into our lives. And so we live every day, day after day after day, eating the fruit of the lies and the deception and the wickedness and the iniquity and everything that he's saying in here. See, your life doesn't have to continue to be the way it's been. Circumstances may not change, but living can change. How you live. And one of the things that a lot of people have to understand, Christians now, they've lived lives, they've lived, like he says in here, you know, by the fruit of the lies. You've been reaping the fruit of lies. Lies that say that you can't change, that nothing will be different. Lies that say that this is just the way it is. Lies that say my ministry is never going to go anywhere. Lies that say nobody really cares about me or what I do. Lies that say nobody really loves me. Lies that, I mean, just on and on and on. Lies that say you're not good enough. Lies, one of the things that happens with these lies, it will create in you the illusion. Now listen to this, the illusion of insufficiency, the illusion of worthlessness, the illusion that I can't measure up, that I can't be, that I can't do, the illusion that I'm not good enough. Now, you can live like that, and what's going to happen is you're going to live every day with insecurities. Insecurities, now listen to this, insecurities are the fruit of what you believe about you concerning the thoughts you have developed about you. It is impossible to live with insecurity when you know who you are in Christ. You say, but Brother Martin, I just don't look good. I just don't, you know, people won't. No, see, there you go. There you go. It is impossible to live with insecurity when you know who you are in Christ. So how do you figure that? Because once you know who you are in Christ, it doesn't matter what other people think about you. You already know what God thinks about you. And you realize that what He thinks about you is the most important thing in your life. You cannot be insecure. See, I've shared this before. But you take a look here at the size of the church. And when people talk about, you know, well, yo, so you pastor. Okay, well, how big is your church? That's always question number. What do you do is question number one. How big is the church is question number two when you tell people that you pastor. Well, whenever you say anything like, well, you know, you're pastoring a church that's running less than 300 or whatever it would be, you always get those condescending smiles and remarks. You know, in other words, there are a lot of people out there, they think very little of you if your church isn't running hundreds and thousands. Christians, let alone the world. And yeah, I'll admit, years and years ago, the whole thing of, you know, big church, got to have a big church, and that's fine. I'm still not opposed to that. But when God spoke to me and He said, I didn't call you to build a church. He said, I called you to build people and my kingdom and to teach those who will receive it. At that moment, I have no more insecurity because I pastor a church that's not running 5,000 people. That's because my security does not come in the numbers who attend. My security comes in knowing who I am in Christ and what God's called me to do. That's my security. So, you know, anybody who visits, anybody who's here, anybody who's watching, I mean, you can have your own thoughts and your own feelings about, well, you know, the church ought to be bigger, and if he was doing right, then the church would be bigger. And I mean, you can come up with all your own feelings and all your own opinions about that all you want. You know what? You're not going to get me down. And I don't care who you talk to. I don't care, you know, who you run me down, you know, in your conversations. Well, I mean, do your thing, man. Have at it. Just continue to sow that kind of stuff into your own life. But you are not going to get me to sit down in that pit with you. It's not going to happen. Because my focus is to do what God has called me to do. So I'm not worried about this. Well, I want to go to a bigger church. Why is that? They have more programs. Yeah, well, I want to go to a church that's got some glory. I want to go to a church where the people really want to have the presence of God. I do not want to go to a church where they have substituted the gold with shiny bronze. Oh, it'll look good. But is God's hand upon it? I don't want to go to a church that has a lot of emotion-stirring activity, and yet, right above the door, Ichabod has been written. I don't want that. I don't want to go to a church. Now listen to this, and understand my context. I don't want to go to a church where I feel good. I want to go to a church where God wants me. And you got a lot of people, they just want to go to a church because it has all that other stuff. And he says right here, look, you've been living according to all that other stuff that you've sown. He says, it's time to change. It's time to go to your heart, plow up the fallow ground, and sow the righteousness, the grace, the mercy, the things of God, so that you can reap all of that. Because otherwise, you're still going to be reaping the stuff of the iniquity and the lies. You're going to be living by all of that. And nothing's going to change. I'm going to show you something else. Look in another verse. Turn over to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Because see, again, when we're talking about what you're sowing into your life, literally what we're talking about, it's sowing those things that God has given unto you. How do you do that? Well, Mark chapter 4, verse 14, the sower soweth the word. Yeah, granted, you may have a job that's not that good. I understand that. Maybe the wages aren't that great. I understand that. And maybe it is true that at your present place of location, the wages never will be good because nobody makes good money. It's just not, you know, that profitable of a company. I mean, I don't know. But who said you have to stay there?
Well, where would I go?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. But I know somebody who does. Doesn't the Bible say something about not leaning to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your paths? Is it possible that you've been leaning to the perception of the understanding that nothing's ever going to change, I'm just stuck in this job and I'll never have anything better, and this is just... Is it possible that you've been leaning to that, but you've not been leaning in His direction and allowing Him to direct your path? Is it possible that maybe you have missed 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 other jobs over the years just because you see your life, the sum total of your life, if you will, as the job that you presently have? Is that possible? Now, I'm not criticizing you. I'm not. Hey, listen, you may have somebody who's working a job and they're making $250,000 a year, but they are lousy, stinking, miserable. And they would love to have a job where they feel better, where they don't have... Well, is it possible that there is a job out there that people have said, I would even take less money if I could just find... Well, is it possible God knows where it is? Or is it possible that God can help you with your attitude toward your present job? Hey, whichever it is, God is the answer. Doesn't matter. God is the answer. The sower sows the word. We'll look over here in John chapter 6. Obviously, Jesus is talking about God's Word. In John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. And then He goes on to you, the words that I speak, they're spirit and they are life. So if I'm sowing the Word of God, then you know what I'm doing? I am sowing to my spirit. Which is exactly what it says over there in Galatians, that if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap life. Jesus says, my words are spirit, they are life. So if I sow God's Word into my life, I'm sowing to my spirit, and out of my spirit, I'll reap the life. If I'm sowing God's Word to my spirit, then I'm actually sowing the life of God into my spirit. And you're going to reap whatever you sow. Please let this sink in. God has said you're going to reap whatever you sow. Therefore, if I am sowing life into my life, I cannot help but reap life. Let me say this a little bit differently, because I know this isn't clicking with everybody. If I sow God's Word and God's Word is life, That means I'm sowing life into my life. That means it is impossible for me to reap anything but life. If I reap what I sow and I'm sowing life, how can I reap death? If I reap what I sow and I'm sowing the things of God, how can I reap the things of the enemy? You see this? And there are a lot of Christians, it's like, you say this, but it's like something on the inside just doesn't believe it or just doesn't make sense. But God has said right here, look, you reap what you sow. Sow the Word. Sow my Word. My Word's a spirit. They are life. Look in John 17. In verse 17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. So if I'm sowing the Word into my life, I'm sowing spirit. I'm sowing life. I'm sowing truth. If I'm sowing truth, I cannot reap a lie, which is what we saw back over there in Ecclesiastes. I can't reap the lives of Satan into my life. It's impossible if I'm sowing truth into my life. And see, for a lot of Christians, this is going to require a massive adjustment in your day-to-day life. And there are a lot of Christians that would hear this message, yes, amen, that's right, you know, I got to do different, I've got to do better. And they acknowledge that. And then when the service is over, they go out to their car and, you know, maybe it cranks hard before it finally starts. This stupid, lousy car, it never starts. This lousy, no good. This stinking, no, this, oh, I'm so sick and tired of this. I can't, you see what I'm saying? And they don't think one thing about it. And I've witnessed this. Service is over. After a message like this. And they sit down at lunch with people. And they start going through the medical chart of their life. Everything that hurts. Everything that's lousy. Everything that's no good. The doctor's going to have to do this. I may have to have surgery. Oh, it's just, oh, it's just, oh, it's just, oh, it's just. See what I mean? They don't think anything. They'll spend 15 minutes telling you everything is bad. And think nothing of it. And over again, this goes. And yet they'll hear a message like this and say, amen, that's right. You know what's happened over time? And this is really a core root of this whole problem, whole process. What has happened over time is that you've lived in a lie for so long and you have reinforced these lies by sowing them into your life for so long that to you, living this way has become normal. But from God's perspective, for a believer, it is abnormal. That is not normal. I mean, Jesus, remember the thing with Lazarus? He's dead. And we're going to go, you know, minister to him. And the disciples were asking about it, and he said, well, Lazarus sleeps. And he said, well, if he sleeps, he's going to feel better in the morning. Why go wake him up? Why, you know? And finally, Jesus, he goes, Lazarus is dead. I mean, he finally had to just lay it on him. But he still raised him from the dead. What was he doing? He was trying to sow life into their lives. But there was something that wasn't clicking. Okay, they weren't born again. I can handle that. But for us, when he says in his word, you reap what you sow, and then he tells you what to sow, and then he tells you what's going to happen. He says, you're either going to reap the life of my word, or you're going to reap the fruit of iniquity and wickedness and lies. He tells you right in here, it's going. He says, you don't have a choice in this matter. It's going to be one or the other. Because I've said, if you sow to the flesh, then you're going to reap the destruction. If you sow to the spirit, you're going to reap the life. So this is happening for you right now. What the life you've been living, whatever you brought with you in today, whatever attitude you have about your own life, whatever things you were thinking this morning, last night, yesterday, you understand that what's happened is you're now living in the fruit of what you've sown over the past. You're the living proof of this. And please don't leave thinking, well, you know, if I just start speaking the Word of God, I'll be a millionaire in a month and all that. No, you don't understand. This is about living the Christ life day to day. And it's interesting, as God was showing this to me, He said, you can have a God tomorrow or a self tomorrow. Whichever you want. You can have a God next week or a self next week. The thing is, for some of us, we have some big crops of lies. And we're going to have to really, really take heart to what we say and what we're sowing. You can't be double-minded, because if you're double-minded, you'll be unstable in all your ways. The Bible says so. What is double-minded? Well, one example of double-minded I've kind of already given. Yes, amen, great sermon, praise God. I've got to watch what I say, what I sow into my life. And then you walk out, and this afternoon at lunch, you're sowing lies back into your life. Tonight, you're sowing lies back into your life. Tomorrow, you just keep, and then you come back next week, it's like, amen, what a wonderful sermon that was last week. We got to sow truth. We got, because we reap what we sow. And then at lunch, you're sowing more lies. You follow the cycle here. The cycle. One of the things that you need to do, really, is pray. God, help me to be sensitive to every thought and every word. Because Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And God said, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my God, my Savior, my Redeemer. See what I mean? So if what I say is acceptable in His sight, that means I am sowing life into my life. I've known of people that, you know, you get around them, you sneeze or you cough or, you know, you you know, you're clearing your throat or whatever, and man, they've got you in the hospital with all kinds of diseases. Oh, I hope you're not coming. Sounds like you may be coming down. Boy, I tell, here, you think we need to get you some pills to help? It's like, man, the worst thing you can do is come in agreement with it. Yeah, I know. It sounds just like it, doesn't it? Yeah, I know. Misery loves company. You say, but Brother Martin, you know, my circumstances, they demand attention. Well, you're right. They do demand attention. But you need to give them the attention of the Word of God. Not the emotional response of how bad it is. Oh, but Brother Martin, I don't know. You really think this is going to work? You really think things are going to change? Things aren't changing for you, are they? No. They never have they? No. Well, why don't you try the other and find out? And keep in mind, it's going to take some time. Because all these years that you've been sowing the lies into your life, you know what you've been doing? You have been taking a stand against the Word of God and literally pushing it away to embrace the lies and make them a part of your life and speak that. But one thing is for sure, God's word is true, and you do reap what you sow. And our lives today are a reflection of that which we've sown. And you can either have a God tomorrow or a self tomorrow. Which do you want? Do you want your tomorrows to be more of a reflection of what God has established in His word? Or do you want the rest of your life to be the way it's been? Now, for some people, the rest of your life to be the way it's been may not be a bad thing. Because if you're living in the grace of God and the righteousness, you understand what I mean? If you're reaping the righteousness, reaping the things of God's word, then yeah, keep on, keep going. You need that. But I think you understand what I mean. And here's the thing. God will honor whatever you sow. He is not going to reach down and yank it up by the roots. He will honor everything you sow. And if you sow all this stuff that doesn't line up with His word, it may, you know, break His heart or, you know, however He responds to it. But He will honor it. And He is not going to just change it. We can change it by plowing up the grounds of our heart and sowing that which is truth. Sowing that life to reap that life in our life. What the Lord is showing me is that there are people who have heard this, here and later, after the fact, that you're really going to have to fight the good fight of faith because you have become so accustomed to sowing death, not life, into your life. And he says, this is going to be a challenge because your emotions are to... that you've developed the habit of just responding in line with the circumstances as opposed to responding in line with the Word. He said you really need to be sensitive to Him because He is going to show you what needs to be changed. But you're going to have to take action and make this change. And He'll help you understand the right kind of balance between addressing a situation and a circumstance with His life and confessing that circumstance into your life.